Have you ever asked yourself why in the world there are so many advertisements? If you're like me, you turn them off. You channel surf to a different station. You do whatever you can to ignore them. But the reality is, if you watch traditional TV for an hour, there are going to be about 15 to 20 minutes worth of advertisement. Play a game on your tablet or cell phone, and you get to learn about why you should buy the nearly indestructible flashlight that's the brightest in the world, or the importance of purchasing a 3-month survival kit that will never grow old. YouTube at least gives you the option of ignoring the ads, but if you're like me, sometimes they're pretty difficult to turn off. When driving down the road, there are billboards telling you what to do, where to stay, what to eat, where to shop, and the list goes on. And if those things don't get your attention, there are the random calls from people trying to sell me the extended warranty on my 20-year-old car that's just about to expire. Or there are those people trying to save me money on my mortgage, even though their interest rate is higher than what I'm paying. It seems like there is someone around every corner who knows what's best for me. Where would we be without advertisements? We probably wouldn't know what to buy. I think we can blame advertisements for our accumulation of things. They're the ones who persuaded us that we needed them. Most American home garages are no longer a place to park cars because of the stuff stored in them. If you're like me, I enjoy driving by places with the garage doors open just to see what the garage is really used for. Though we, Paula and I, do park our car in the garage, which is fortunately very small, our car, I am no exception. I'm an accumulator. The first time Paula and I moved, we had a small U-Haul full of stuff. The next time we moved, it was a large U-Haul plus. You get the picture? Today, I don't even want to think about moving. Accumulation. A lot of us do it. There are those few people in the world who can get rid of stuff. I just wasn't raised that way. I would like to share this morning a couple things that I personally enjoy. Things that I have accumulated. How many of you know what a mustache cup is? I have a pretty cool collection of mustache cups, which I started in 1978 when my older brother gave me this mustache cup for a Christmas present. It's from Western Baptist Bible College, which is now Corbin University. And it's pretty cool. Mustache cups, for those of you who don't know, were actually pretty popular around the turn of the century when men had facial hair. The design of the mustache cup is to keep the liquid that you're consuming off of your mustache, hence the name. Mustache cups come in all kinds of different forms, and throughout the years have changed. Some of them are pretty simple. Some of them are a little freaky. My daughter and son-in-law thought this was appropriate for me. As a matter of fact, it was so appropriate that they bought a large one and a smaller one so I can have espresso in one and coffee in the other. This cup is one of my favorites. This was purchased for me by a very good friend of mine at the Saturday Market in Portland. It's handmade, it's nice and heavy, and it's big. So it holds a lot. But it's pretty rough inside, and it's kind of hard to keep clean if you use it very much. Mustache cups were not designed to be cleaned. They were designed to protect my mustache. In our world, not everybody is right-handed. These are all right-handed mustache cups. This is cool because it's a left-hander. So I can drink with my left hand and keep my mustache clean. If you can imagine using a right-handed mustache cup with your left hand, it doesn't do much good. Accumulation, things are important to us. When they become important to us, we begin to learn a little bit about them. Mustache cups have different designs, but they are designed for a purpose, a single purpose. Most of the ladies here won't care if they drink with a mustache cup. As a matter of fact, most of the guys here this morning wouldn't care if they drank with a mustache cup. But a few of them really enjoy them. Accumulation. We do it because it's interesting to us, because it's something that we have fun with. Sam and I had a conversation a few years ago about another collection that I have that's kind of a weird collection. I have about 10 shovels. None of them are the same. All of them are designed for a purpose. Okay? This is a post-hole digging shovel. Not a post-hole digger, but a post-hole digging shovel. Jason looks like he knows what this one is about and how it's used. It's nice because it's thin, so you can dig a deep, thin hole. It's terrible if you're spading the garden. Absolutely no fun. This is one I just had to buy. Tell me that's not an evil-looking shovel. This is a root cutter shovel. So you know when that root goes underneath the sidewalk and it starts popping it up? It's designed with a V in it so that you can sharpen this thing and you can stand it on there and you can just push your way through it. If that doesn't work, it's got saw teeth on the side of it so you can cut that root off. How's that for a shovel? These are two of my favorite shovels. No, this is not a toy. This is not a shovel that was bought to teach a small boy how to dig, although it would be useful for that. Bring up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Get them interested in shovels young. This shovel is actually really handy in tight spots, around small things, and when you need a lot of control for what you're doing. Because it functions close to your body, you don't have a big handle to deal with. If you'll notice, I like T-handles on my shovels because they give you a nice grip point. This is absolutely my favorite and most versatile shovel. I can use this shovel for spading, though it's not the best. I can use it for edging the lawn. I can use it for scalping grass. I can use it for all kinds of things. It's a nice little square point. If I have to, I can use it to clean things up because I can sweep things into it because of the square point. Shovels were designed for shoveling, for digging, for moving stuff. If you have ever tried to use the wrong shovel for a job, a nice square point shovel to dig a deep hole, it's not any fun. But if you have a shovel for the purpose, it makes the job easier. Why do I have 10 shovels? I'm not a farmer. I'm not a contractor. I'm a homeowner on a 70 by 120 foot lot. And I'm getting some looks up here like, why do you have 10 shovels? Because shovels are cool. And mustache cups are cool. And other things are cool. And besides, somebody advertised and told me that this shovel would make my life easier. It's their fault, right? Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. Sarah and I are on the same page here. Like advertisers, I know about the things I enjoy. I know a little bit about mustache cups. I'm finding out more because they interest me. I know a little bit about shovels, and I also know that I like somebody else to use my shovels. That makes them much easier for me to use. Why do I know about the things that I collect? Why do I know about my accumulations, my collections? Because I enjoy them. The things that we enjoy, we tend to learn about. We learn how they work. We learn how they go together. Some of those things we learn how to repair. This morning, I would like to share with you three things that God wants for us. We have wants in our lives. I'd like to share three things that God wants for us, kind of along the same line as what I've shared with you in my infomercial this morning about mustache cups and shovels. Don't everybody go out and buy a shovel, and please don't everybody go out and buy a mustache cup. Although, I might know somebody that would take it off your hands when it grows tired. Three things that God wants for us. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to find joy in His Word, and God wants us to tell others about Him. The things that I collect, you know what? I know about them. I actually find joy in them, and I do like telling others about them. God wants us to know Him. Getting to know something isn't always easy. generally, before we purchase a product, we try to learn something about it. If I can stretch the analogy far enough, you could say we kind of develop a relationship with it. We may learn where it is made, what things are included with it, how it's assembled, definitely what Consumers Report says about it, because they know everything. Similarly, God wants us to know Him. In Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, it says, "This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." God wants us to know He is the one who gives wisdom. He's the one who gives riches. He's the one who gives strength. It is God who provides for us. He wants us to know that He exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on this earth. He wants us to know that He is God. I choose the right shovel for the job. God wants us to know that if we choose Him, He's the right one to help us with our lives. Jesus, in His prayer for Himself and His followers in John 17, explains eternal life this way, and I hadn't thought about this until I looked at this verse from this perspective. Jesus says in that prayer, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I always think about eternal life being the life after this. Eternal life starts with knowing God and who He is and what He does. Think about it for a minute. Jesus says eternal life is knowing God. It's about knowing God and being with Him. Paul, when praying for the church at Ephesus, says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom so," any idea where I'm going here? "That you may know God." Why do I want wisdom? So I can know God. Not so I can be the greatest scientist. Not so I can have a more awesome collection of mustache cups. Not so I can know about things, but so I can know God. God wants us to know Him well enough to talk about what kind of God He is. I've taken time to get to know about the things that I have accumulated, the things that I have used. Am I taking the same amount of time to get to know God? The prophet Hosea encouraged the Israelites to know God this way. He said, "Let us know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him." Let us press on to know Him. Let us work at knowing Him. As getting to know about my collections took some time, so getting to know God takes some time. As getting to know about mustache cups wasn't really easy, I kind of had to search for information about that. Sometimes getting to know God requires some searching. But God gave us this wonderful book called the Bible that tells all about Him. He gave us the church to help us to grow and get to know Him. A primary way of getting to know God is getting to know His Word. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, man, the Bible is so hard to read. I just don't get it. You know what? It can be. If you want some exciting reading sometime, turn to Leviticus. I always love sending people to Leviticus when they say the Bible is hard to understand, because Leviticus is all about the laws and the rules and what they had to do and how they had to do it and what kind of sacrifice had to be brought. All of that kind of stuff. Leviticus is hard to read. Read the genealogies. I just like trying to pronounce the names. But you know what? There's a lot of the Bible that isn't that hard to read. God's pretty straightforward in what He says. Some of the minor prophets, though difficult, carry tremendous truth that's obvious. The Gospels tell the story of Jesus. Acts tells the story of the church. You see, as I find joy in having the right tool for the task and knowing how to use it, whether we might be sewing or vacuuming or working on the car, building a shed or gardening, the right tool brings us some satisfaction. Having the correct tool is only satisfying, though, when we know how to use it. I have been frustrated by some tools, not because they weren't designed for the job, but because I didn't know how to use them. I wasn't familiar with them. But we're willing to take the time, because of the benefits, to learn about those tools. God wants us to do this with His Word. He wants us to find joy in His Word. He wants us to find purpose through it. David, in his personal life, thought this was so important that he asked God to help him. If you're struggling with getting to know the Word, Psalms 119, it's a great psalm to go to. It talks all about that. Verses 33 through 40, which Susan read for us earlier, part of that says, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it in my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain things. Turn my eyes from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." What an awesome prayer. Am I willing to pray that in my life? God, give me a hunger for your word so that I find delight in it. David recognized that knowing God and his word is where he found delight, so he asked God to teach him. David said that his delight is not in what he has, and David had a lot, but in his relationship and knowledge of God. How much delight do I find in God's Word? Am I willing to spend as much time and effort learning about God as I do learning about the things I possess? However, knowing God's Word is not the end. In order for God's Word to bring joy, we must apply it to how we live. There are many in this world who know the Bible very well, know what it says, what it talks about. I've met people who can talk the Bible inside out, upside down, and backwards, but they're frustrated by it because of a lack of application. The Bible is just another book, and they have no relationship with the God who wrote it. They aren't listening to what it says. Am I willing to listen to what the Bible says and do it? We find delight in the word when we do what it said. David said, "Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it." James put it this way, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Just like our things, when we know about God and develop our relationship with Him, we'll be willing to tell others about Him. We like talking about the things in our lives. I had a lot of fun this morning sharing with you about a couple of my collections, my accumulations. That's fun because I like it. Most of us like talking about our families, our pets, our homes, our cars, even our collections. We will talk about those things that are important and that we know about. Those who know me know I like cars. I'm not a mechanic, but I like cars. I like talking about them, learning about them, and looking at them. It's just something I have an interest in, so I like talking and learning about it. We talk about the things we're interested in, the things that are important to us. I think my relationship with God is the same way. The more I get to know Him, the more I like talking about Him. And He wants us to talk about Him. God doesn't want us to keep silent about Him. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, makes this statement, talking to His followers. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When people look at us, the church, believers, God wants them to see Him. It took time and effort in Jesus' day to make a light shine. He couldn't pull up Siri and say, "Siri, turn on the lights in the living room, turn off the lights in the garage, turn on the outdoor light." No, Siri doesn't control my house. And besides, my phone is off. Okay, thanks though. They couldn't walk up to a light switch and throw the switch. So when he made this statement, he was talking about work. You see, they had to grab a lamp. They had to clean the reflector. They had to fill it with oil. They had to trim the wick. They had to make sure the oil was flowing in it. Oh, and then when they set it on the lampstand and walked off, they had to remember to come back because that wick would need adjusting again. See, making our light shine, knowing about God, is a process. Wouldn't it be cool if I could pull my phone out and say, "Siri, teach me all about God"? always told my kids when they were young, if I could take the Bible and pound them on the head hard enough that it would get in there, that would be really cool. My mother used to say the same thing to me. So, but see, it takes time and effort to let my light shine. Am I willing to spend that time? I'm willing to spend that time looking at, researching, thinking about, playing with, getting to know, find, decide if I really want to buy it. Is it worth what they're asking for it? Fun thing about mustache cups is I get to dicker on some of them. Shovels, not so much. Am I willing to spend that same kind of time getting to know God and telling others about him? You see, when I know I'm willing to talk, Jesus, when he was leaving this world, Matthew chapter 28, which we're all very familiar with, gave us this command. He said, first of all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Not talking about me, but talking about Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. How do we do that? By talking. By telling. Am I as excited to tell people about Jesus as I am to tell you about my shovels? Or my mustache cups? Or my wife? Or my home? Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching. Oh, man, that's another thing that requires verbalization, doesn't it? We've got several teachers here this morning. Would you like to teach a subject that you knew absolutely nothing about? How many teachers would like to do that? How many of you like teaching a subject that you enjoy? Now, you might teach quantum physics, but PE would be a lot more fun. You might teach biology, but hey, math is where it's at. Okay? Teaching about what I know and enjoy is a lot more fun, and I am willing to talk about it. Jesus tells us to make disciples and to teach them. He wants us telling others about him. He wants us talking about what we've experienced, what we've seen, what we know. We can't talk very well about something or someone we don't know. Some of us can talk about it, but we really don't know what we're talking about. But it makes a lot more sense when we know about it. I get excited about things that I enjoy, and I'm willing to talk about it. And I think everybody here is kind of the same way. Each one of us have topics that we really enjoy, that we like. But we have a common topic this morning as we gather in God, in Jesus, in his word. As I collect my things, I hope it causes me to remember that God wants me to know him as well as I know my mustache cups. Probably better than I know my mustache cups. He wants me to have as good a relationship or better with him as I do with my shovel. The things I enjoy are cool. I think they're cool and they're fun, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things. But God wants us to know him as well. God wants us to find joy in his word and learning about him and who he is. God wants us to be willing to want to tell others about him. My prayer for us as a church is that we have that desire, that God is as cool to me as my collections, as the things I have, as the things I do. Remember this morning, God wants us to know him. God wants us to find joy in his word, and God wants us to talk about him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the things you give us, for the things we enjoy. We pray this morning, Father, that we would find equal or more joy in our relationship with you, in learning about you, in sharing about you, and talking about you. Jesus, thank you for your word this morning, and just pray for your blessing as we go out. In your name, amen.